All right, Nick Caserio joins us in a little over an hour. He'll join us at 7:30 today. One of the moves I'm sure we will ask him about was the most recent move by the Houston Texans. Texans, of course, start their season this Sunday against the Los Angeles Rams. We'll talk about that as well. Davis Mills signs a one-year, $7 million fully guaranteed extension yesterday. This is one of those tweets, Seth, where I'd ask myself, okay, is this a tweet from like a year ago getting pushed to the top of my timeline for some reason? You know, the algorithm does weird things sometimes, because he did virtually the same thing about a year ago when he extended his rookie contract 1 year for $5 million. And that's the contract he's playing under this season. This contract ties Davis Mills to the Texans through 2026, fully guaranteed 1 year, $7 million extension. Davis Mills was definitely a topic during training camp because he had a really good training camp. He had maybe one or two bad days out there. And other than that, Davis Mills, for the first couple weeks of training camp, he was the best quarterback out there. Now, granted, he was going against twos every day. C.J. Stroud is going against Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson, et cetera, every day. So there's a degree of difficulty. But nevertheless, Davis Mills, and in the brief times he got into the games as well, Davis Mills looked pretty good too in the preseason games. I like this move for the Texans. I like this move for Davis Mills. If this is the life Davis Mills wants to carve out for himself, being a backup quarterback and just kind of going year by year and just stacking $5 million and $7 million and whatever the number is each year, I'm a little surprised by this move, to be honest with you, Seth. I think if Davis Mills had just gone through this season as the backup quarterback for the Texans, even if he hadn't gotten into any games, I think he might have been able to get a bigger deal out on the open market, but I'm guessing he likes it here.
I think he likes it here, but I also think that, and I'll ask Nick about this. I don't think we'll probably get a straight answer, but maybe, who knows? I wonder if there was a conversation with him too about like, hey, listen, you know, if a good trade situation comes up and we think that it's good for both of us, then we'll trade you. If you have a chance to be a starter, and it's like, you know, I think there's a level of trust there with Davis Mills now. And obviously Davis Mills doesn't have an axe to grind with the organization. This is the second time he's re-upped.
Yeah.
That I think Davis might look at this as, well, look, who knows what the future holds and what my opportunities will be. I like where I am right now, but also there might be an opportunity via trade. It doesn't have to be that C.J. Stroud gets injured or something. And that's where, and at the same time for the Texans, they can continue to develop Graham Mertz. And maybe this time next year, maybe their price. The Texans right now might think, okay, we really need Davis Mills to be our backup quarterback. Yeah. He's got experience, this, that, the other. But if somebody gives us a deal that we just can't refuse because it's too good, then we can trade him.
Mm-hmm.
You get to next year, and if they feel good about Graham Mertz, then it can become, okay, somebody offers up a fourth or fifth rounder for Davis Mills. We can trade him for a draft pick, get that money off our books. So I like it. It's kind of a good hedge for all parties involved.
Yeah. I do think it's to a degree, I mean, $7 million, so it's a tiny, tiny, tiny sliver of the salary cap. But I do think that it extends, the fact that it extends Davis through this year, and well, he's already extended through this year. It extends him through next year. I think that plays into something you and I had talked about within the last couple weeks, which is, hey, if Davis had to start X amount of games, how do we think the Texans would do in those games? I think we even played the hypothetical. Let's pretend C.J. Stroud got abducted by aliens, mm-hmm. and now all of a sudden Davis Mills is your starting quarterback. You know, I think Davis Mills, with this defense on the other side, I think the Texans can win eight or nine games with Davis Mills as their quarterback. I think that much of the defense. And it's not that I think Davis Mills is, you know, Joe Burrow or something like that, but I think he's good enough now. You know, he's been in this system, some variation of it, before in his career. He's, you know, he was in this system more than C.J. Stroud's been in this type of system, given that he played for Tim Kelly his rookie year. So I think it's validation also that they feel like, hey, if we had to get through a patch without C.J. Stroud, we feel perfectly confident that Davis Mills can navigate that patch of schedule for us.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're not extending him, you know?
If you look at Deshaun Watson in seasons 2021 through 2024, he has a QBR of 40.4. Davis Mills in that same time, while making drastically less money, has a QBR of 41.2.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's been, they've basically been the same guy.
Wow.
Well, Deshaun Watson has had $170 million guaranteed. Just hitting his bank account bi-weekly. Weekly,
yeah.
Whatever it
might
be.
Yeah. And for another couple of years, too.
Yeah.
Hey, he's working out diligently on videos I've seen on Instagram.
Dude, it takes a lot to stay motivated to be a fifth string quarterback on one of the worst teams in the league while making that much money. So kudos to Deshaun for just plugging away in a blue collar fashion. Yes.
$46 million a year. Sam Warren had a really good piece on the Chronicle yesterday on the website. About Cole Popovich. You brought this up, I think, towards the end of the show yesterday, this piece that Sam Warren wrote about Cole Popovich's journey. We'll definitely ask Nick Caserio about Cole Popovich and how he feels Cole's been doing in coaching that offensive line, because from the article, Nick was the one who placed the phone call to Cole Popovich about coming and working for the Texans. The two had history back when they were both with the New England Patriots. And for those who don't know the story, Cole Popovich, he's a rising star in the offensive line coaching ranks. You know, he was set to be the guy to take over for Dante Scarnecchia after he retired in 2019. He and another coach, whose name escapes me, were co-offensive line coaches during the COVID year in 2020. And then in 2021, where the league required pretty much everybody to get vaccinated, Cole Popovich chose not to, and they parted ways, the Patriots and Cole Popovich. He ends up coaching at Franklin High School, which is where his son went to high school.
Yeah, his son was a freshman that year, yeah.
In 2021. He coached at Troy University in 2022, and then 2023 is when he came over to the Texans. What impressed me most about Cole Popovich in this article, Seth, was how he threw himself into the Franklin High school job. The coach at Franklin High was expecting Cole Popovich basically just to be somebody who gave little pointers and things like that. He's on Zoom calls with coaches
every night with the players doing cutups and everything. This is one thing. I honestly, as I was reading that part of the article, it's just that's the same experience that I'm guessing D'Amico's experience was kind of like that too. Guys, they leave the NFL and they start coaching high school just maybe in their spare time or whatever. And it's a different level of commitment, you know, and the things you just expect to do automatically, they're doing it. And it's, you know, because high school coaches, mostly assistant coaches, have actual jobs, either teaching or otherwise. And they're, you know, trying to, like, where the pro guys are throwing themselves into this voluntary job like it's a full-time job. And they ended up having a lot of success that year. He's had a long, because he was like 26 years old when he got into coaching.
Yeah.
He kind of bounced around a little bit in different jobs after college. He got into it. And then ultimately, on the recommendation of one of his college coaches, got hooked up with Belichick in New England.
Pat Hill at Fresno.
That's right, it was Pat Hill.
Pat Hill.
One-time Texans coaching interviewee, if I recall correctly.
He was back in
2006, I think.
Well, he was David Carr's coach in college, and he was early 2000s, man, when Fresno State was pulling off all those upsets of the big pro. Pat Hill was a rising star in the coaching ranks back then. Well-respected.
The Texans interviewed him the year that they ended up hiring Kubiak, if I remember correctly.
That sounds about right. Yeah. That sounds right. Hey, maybe David Carr's college coach can rehabilitate David Carr's career in 2006. What impressed me most about Cole Popovich in this article, I came away from this article feeling really good about the hands that the offensive line is in right now with the Texans, Seth. I like the two stops that he had. And again, this was a guy who, when he got cut loose from the NFL, was a rising star in the position coaching ranks. I found it cool. It didn't seem like there was any bitterness with him. The two jobs that he had that were non-NFL jobs in that interim period, Franklin High School and Troy, he walked away from both of those jobs, like using them as learning experiences. Like the high school one, he said, Dante Scarnecchia always said to separate the important from the unimportant. And that really hit home with high schoolers because you can't put too much on their plates. You know,
you've got to get some basic.
You got to boil it down
before you start trying to do all the fancy stuff.
Yeah. So he came away with a renewed respect or a renewed internalization of that tenet of the Scarnecchia, you know, Bible. And then at Troy, he said it was cool because I learned new schemes that weren't being used in the NFL at the time. That it gave me a new perspective on how to look at some things that I guess have been really beneficial for him here. It was a really good article, man. I didn't know much about Cole Popovich other than just the fact that he, you know, he got let go from the Patriots because of a vaccination issue. I recommend to go read it. If you're looking to feel good about how the offensive line is being coached, I came away feeling better about it after reading that article.
Well, the biggest thing about coaching is that, especially on the line play, for me at least, just because that's where I played, it's you can tell whether a guy's a good coach or not just by the evidence of two things. One is the technique across the board, generally pretty sound. And two, do you see improvement in guys, the younger guys, especially from the beginning of the year to the end of the year? I feel like the technique across the board is so much better this preseason than it was last year. The footwork, the lack of miscommunications, all of those things. It's just night and day what it was before. But also, I mean, people initially, the first question, and it's a justifiable question, was, hey, wait a second, this guy was the assistant offensive line coach last year. Why is he becoming the line coach when clearly all of these things were an issue? From the very onset, I said, look, I can't judge an assistant position coach by the work of the full-time the assistant coach, because I've seen instances where there were assistant position coaches who I knew were really good coaches, but there's only so much they can do.
Yeah.
Like they're not going to override or supersede what the main assistant coach is going to do. But then the other was, I think it was DJ Bieniemy that first reported that some of the changes the Texans made in their play calling, in their run selections in the end of the year and in the playoffs were due to the input of Cole Popovich and that he had really pushed for it. And you look at that chart, you know, when they closed out the Charger game with a drive that was nothing but runs.
11 straight runs with Joe Mixon. Yeah.
That first drive in the third quarter of the Chiefs game, again, that was reportedly a lot of Cole Popovich's influence. So I think that probably right down when they were starting to get desperate, maybe Cole Popovich or somebody else said, like, listen, man, listen, we got enough's enough. We got to fix this.
Yeah. With the that's interesting. The evidence, have you seen evidence that this offensive line is well coached by the definition you just had a couple of minutes ago?
They're completely different than what they were last year.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the technique across the board and the lack of miscommunications.
Yeah.
Those are 100% better than they were last year.
Yep.
Like last year in the preseason, there were so many missed assignments and obvious confusion on the offensive line where guys just flat out didn't know what their responsibilities or assignments were.
Yep.
This year it's been the exact opposite. It's been very rare. There have been missed blocks that were just physical losses, and the physical losses are going to happen. There have been very few instances I've seen where a guy just flat out didn't know who he was supposed to block.
Yep.
Or two guys, you know, last year what we would see all the time is like a guard and a tackle both thinking that they were going to work up to the linebacker, and they would just leave a guy like DeForest Buckner completely
running
unblocked.
Straight at C.J. Stroud.
Good luck, DeForest. We're going to go hang out with your friend E.J. Speed for a little bit.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Text message. Guys, when are we talking about how Fromber drilled Salazar on purpose? We talked about it extensively in the open. We'll talk about it again in headlines.
And we talked about how bogus the explanation for it was afterwards. Yes.
The stance of Payne and Pendergast is that it was intentional by Fromber.
I'm sorry. If you're asking when are we going to talk about it, we can't talk about it every single segment for 4 hours.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I would stab myself in the face.
Yep.
So, but we will be talking about it frequently.
We will talk about it in headlines in the next segment for sure. Text message: Sean, Mills' contract is the second largest for NFL QB backups. I'm not sure how much more he would have gotten in the open market. I'm not sure.
He would have gotten largest per year, but if you do the and I don't know, like, send me the link on that.
Right.
Because I'm skeptical. I think Deshaun Watson's got the largest backup quarterbacks.
yeah, Texter, take that.
Yeah, but it's a one-year deal as opposed to a multi-year deal that he could have gotten for probably more total guaranteed money.
Yep. Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long.
Uh, Go ahead.
Sorry. Okay.
I'm just obviously fact checking that erroneous text.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So we'll talk about Davis Mills in headlines. We'll also talk about Framber Valdez in headlines. Nick Caserio joins us on the show at 7:30 today. So we'll start to dig in on the season with Texans executive vice president and general manager Nick Caserio.